The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Welcome to the First Cut Podcast Genesis Invitational Round 2 Instant Reaction. What a day out at Riviera. And to break it all down with me, I've got none other than Greg Ducharme on the line. Welcome in, Greg.
Oh, man. We've had some great action so far out in LA. You were out there, I understand.
How's
the action out there?
Oh, my God. That place it's beautiful. There's so many great sight lines, and every direction I turned my head, there was like a top 10 ranked player in the world. So things were awesome. But yeah, we saw there was not only action, I mean, literally throughout the coverage window, past the coverage window, and until like 5 seconds ago, there is just severe carnage going on at Riviera right now. So let's hop into this, Greg. Matt Kuchar avoided a lot of the carnage. He is your 36-hole leader. He's two shots up on Harold Varner and someone you might have heard of, Rory McIlroy. And Kuchar, you know, jumps out to a first-round 64, follows it up today with another under-par round 69. He's been rolling every putt in, but this is like he's just going to keep going. He's just going to keep his head down and keep plugging away.
He's gained significantly, and I know that you love these statistics here, but he's gained over 7 strokes already putting on the field. And when you look at his breakdown here, putting is definitely his key. But what I love about Matt Kuchar through these first 2 rounds, just 2 bogeys. And the one today on number one is honestly, quite frankly, inexcusable. To make a bogey on number one, it's basically a par 4. That's a double that he just, I don't know what he was playing hockey around the greens. It was completely, out of the ordinary. And aside from that, it was so bad that I basically would throw that one away. And so through these first 30, we'll call it 35 holes, excluding that one, he's made 1 bogey, and that's Matt Kuchar golf. And here's the thing that I like about Matt Kuchar this week. There's no weather in sight, right? We're not going to get high winds to pick up. We're not going to get rain squalls to come into play. And if you look at Matt Kuchar through time, all of the high scores that he shoots come on days where, like, they can almost all of them date to bad weather. You look at the Sony Open this year. You look at the Century Tournament of Champions. He had a couple of high ones in bad weather. The Open Championship last year, he shot like a 79 on the final day. Bad weather popped up. The Waste Management Phoenix Open last year on Sunday, he shot a 76, I believe, and there was that rain squall and bad weather coming into play. When the weather's good, Matt Kuchar's good. He's definitely a guy to keep your eye on through the weekend.
You know what else he's good is holding a 36-hole lead or a co-lead. I mean, this is going to be I shouldn't say it's going to be the 7th time. The last 6 times he's held the lead or the co-lead, he's won 2 of them. He's finished 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 4th. I mean, he's not going away anytime soon. I realize it is the putter that has gotten him through 2 rounds, but he's good enough. He is a veteran. He knows, like, go out there, manage the course. He's going to find a way to stay in contention for the next 2 days.
Well, the other thing is, too, you look at his game, the way that his game is formulated, it's about keeping the ball in front of him. It's a great front runner style because he's not going to hit the ball and he's not going to make really big numbers. He did make a mistake on number one today. He made a couple mistakes. That's such an outlier. It's not going to happen again. So he's not going to give this tournament away. What he does, he's going to force somebody to come and take it from him. And on a golf course like this, if you can force guys behind you to be aggressive, you're in really good shape because it can punish you in a hurry.
Someone that is chasing down or attempting to chase down Matt Kuchar was a little bit difficult to find today, Greg, because he was wearing the official Where's Waldo outfit? Rory McIlroy rocking the blue pants, the red and white striped shirt. I almost couldn't find him out there, but he goes out and shoots a 67 4 under par. And I've run out of superlatives for Rory. I think he is very clearly the best player in the world. I think that he is proving it to us week in and week out. It is just like no surprise to see his name near the top of the leaderboard.
It's not just the fact that it's Rory. It's not just the fact that he's 7 under. It's how he's gone about doing it. And we haven't seen his best stuff. And this is what we saw at Farmers Insurance Open. This is what we're going to see throughout this season. When Rory's not at his best, what does he give us? And Rory gives us still right there in contention to win. This is the kind of stuff Tiger used to give us in the 2000s. I mean, you're talking about a guy that yesterday hit 9 of 18 greens. This is Rory McIlroy, hit 9 of 18 greens. And today he hit 4 of 14 fairways and he's in tied second. So you look at what Rory can get out of a round and it's just extremely impressive. And he doesn't need his best stuff to win. And he could very well, I mean, one hot round in this tournament could be over with Rory McIlroy holding the trophy basically tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say. I mean, Mark and I kind of mentioned this yesterday. It's a lot of times with Rory, it just feels like that was the worst score he could have carded because he's just giving himself so many opportunities. And when he misses 2 or 3 8-footers, which are, you know, 50-50 shots on the PGA Tour, you're just like, wow, that could have been so much better. And he's constantly putting himself in that position. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. Rory is going to be around on Sunday. I can almost guarantee it.
It's just, it's really good. It's really consistent. It's really steady. And what I like about this too, the putting so far this week is just, it's good. It's not great. It's not on fire. It's just good. And he's one hot putting round away. He's kind of traded off with the irons and the woods, right? He didn't have a great iron day. Couldn't really get the ball onto the green on Thursday. And that's what hurt him. Today, he couldn't really get the ball into the fairway. But at the same time, he missed in some pretty good places, was able to get the ball on the green. And he's holding his own with his putter. So there's no real sign of volatility with the putter. It's something that I think he's going to be able to hold on to. So, looking really strong going forward.
Unfortunately, we got a little bit of a fade from our tournament host and golfer going for the all-time win record, Tiger Woods, who shoots a 73 today, 2 over par. His own words were saying basically he's got to go out and make some birdies this weekend. You know, Tiger plays to win. He's currently in a tie for 46th. He's not going to be happy with the top 10. So he's hoping, his words again, to go birdie start tomorrow.
It's just been with Tiger. I mean, yeah, birdie start is something he could definitely do. And he will need to do very likely. The thing is with Tiger though, it's not been the start. It's been the finish. He hasn't been able to get into the clubhouse. I mean, on the front nine yesterday, he looked like he was going to chase down Matt Kuchar. And it looked like I looked at it. I saw Tiger going. I saw him chomping away on his gum there. He looked so calm. He looked so good on the front nine. And I'm saying he's chasing him down. This guy is hunting him down. It reminded me a little bit of the Zozo. After making 3 bogeys on the first 3 holes, he just kind of hunted down the lead and ends up winning that tournament. I kind of had that same feel for some reason. But the closing stretches in both rounds have not been the same. Today, bogeys at 3, 4, and 6, and no birdies after the first hole, which, again, the first hole is basically a par 4. So I look at this 2 second 9s that he's played this week, and I say he's made no birdies. Because to make a 4 on number 1, I mean, that's not a real bird. I mean, that's basically a par compared to the rest of the field. So he hasn't made any birdies on his second nines. I don't know what it is. I don't have a way to explain it. It's just this golf course seems to be such a challenge for him.
Yeah, to your point, Greg, you're not exaggerating on the first hole scoring average. That is a par 5 that routinely plays lower than a lot of the par 4s around Riviera. But the concern for me, especially with Tiger, is he lost 2 strokes putting today, which we were expecting, hey, he's going to get out early on these POA greens. They're going to be fresh. They're going to be rolling straight. And like, we didn't see that.
We didn't see that at all. I don't know what it is with him at this venue. It's such a challenge for him. And typically California kids do really well. And I'm not calling Tiger a kid, but people from California, people who grew up in California, typically do pretty well on California greens. And Tiger has a great record in California. He does great on it's not like the surface is something he's unfamiliar with. So it's got to be just the layout of the property. It's just a hard golf course for him to see, a hard golf course for him to figure out. And you're right about this putting. I mean, it let him down today and then some. And these are things we've never seen from him before. So it definitely gives me a little bit of concern for this week. It doesn't give me any real concern going forward because I know that this is just one of those courses I think he has a hard time seeing.
Yeah, well, speaking of going forward, he will not be teeing it up in Mexico next week, which I think I got that vibe from him. He was very noncommittal. We had mentioned previously that he wants to play less. Going and playing in Mexico would not be playing less. It's such a condensed schedule this year that this seemed like a logical place for him to take off.
So it's a very interesting thing to me. And normally I would say, yeah, it's logical. It makes sense. There's no real reason for him to do it unless it benefits his major championship chances. But the interesting thing about this year is the Olympics. And he said that he wants to play on that Olympic team and to skip a World Golf Championship. I mean, I was looking at this the other day, figuring out, just dialing in exactly how the World Golf Ranking system works. And basically, over a two-year period, there's a minimum number of tournaments that's called your divisor. So you're ranked on the average number of points you get per week, but there's a minimum number of tournaments that you have to play. So Tiger's logged 33 events. The minimum is 40. So he's built in 7 missed cuts. And if he really wants to get on that team, the way to do it, winning helps. But the other way to do it is, You play more events that you didn't play the year before. So this would be the time from now until the U.S. Open, play World Golf Championships, add extra events, play the API, get your divisor up a little bit, and it would help his average. If there were no minimum requirement in the divisor, Tiger would be 5th in the world. He'd be right behind Justin Thomas. And so it hurts him. It hurts him in that. I just wonder if that's really a goal of his or if he thinks he's just going to prepare to try to win the Masters, and that's going to be enough to get him high enough in the World Golf Rankings.
I think that is probably what his mindset is. And speaking of World Rankings, you are giving me the perfect segues tonight. Let's go to a guy who is kind of dealing with this whole two-year rolling average thing, and it's why his official World Golf Ranking is dropping as sharply as it is, and it's Jordan Spieth. But Jordan Spieth's going to make the cut this week. He's going to get himself a paycheck. He is currently in a tie for 46th at even par. Now, Greg, did you see what he did on 17 today? The absolute most Spiethian thing he could do.
Yeah, it was Spiethian. This is a Spiethian move. Yeah, and I mean, to an extent, I can understand it. It was a little extreme. It was definitely extreme.
So here's what he did. Here's what he did for those who didn't see it. The thing I love about Jordan Spieth, and I love kind of like putting him in my fantasy lineups or like betting him, is this guy never stops thinking. He never stops grinding. He's always working hard. So on 17 today, it's a par 5. He hits his drive up the left-hand side. He actually kind of games the system a little bit by appearing to intentionally hit his ball so far left of the grandstand up by the green that he knew he would get a free drop from there and it would be a better angle coming in, to the point where he told his caddy Michael Greller, hey, go up there and keep an eye on this because that's where I'm hitting it. Is this okay? I mean it's the rules, right?
It is the rules. It's absolutely okay. I mean, it's not necessarily what you want to see. There are rare circumstances. Look, the thing is, he's 313 yards away on that second shot. So he has a little bit more. It's not like he's going to hit it on the green. So I understand where he's coming from here. And what it speaks to me is two things. One, the importance of angles at Riviera, the importance of playing from the right side, the proper side. You'll hear guys say it all week. I missed in the right spots today. And that's going to be what you hear from guys who play really well. You heard it from Rory McIlroy, as a matter of fact. So angles are extremely important at this place. So I understand it from that standpoint. The other thing it speaks to me, and you mentioned, Rick, he's always on. He's always grinding, even in practice rounds, because that means he's looking at the drop zones during practice rounds. How do you know exactly where it is? How do you know what that angle is to that specific hole location? So it's almost like they had it mapped out in their in their yardage book. They knew yeah. where the drop zone was, and that was an option that they considered. It's kind of a difficult thing to reason through. So I give them credit for the preparation, because it speaks to preparation to me, and I like that. Is it excessive? Well, maybe.
it reminds me of like the Houston Rockets when they realized they could like break the NBA by just shooting threes or dunking and getting to the foul line. It's like
an analytics play,
like,
right?
It's in the rules. You can do this, but like it's not that fun to watch and like yeah. all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, that was the most boring 130 points I've ever seen.
Right, exactly. It's very exciting to watch, if you caught it, Adam Scott, who is Kyle Porter's one and done pick, and in our email chain, said this is a Valentine's Day gift to his wife so that on Sunday he could watch or she could watch Adam Scott raise the trophy. Adam Scott, very good looking guy, very good round of golf today as he goes out and shoots a bogey free 7-under round of the day. This is like classic Adam Scott gaining, you know, over 5 strokes tee to green and making it look good the whole time.
Yeah, great looking guy, great looking scorecard, which is much more important to Adam Scott's wife yeah. at this point. But, yeah, Adam Scott's another one of those guys to me that would make a great James Bond. I know we talked about this with Alex Noren. He's a James Bond character on the PGA Tour to me, and a stud. Love the pick from Kyle Porter. It's a great venue for him. And I looked into Adam Scott for this week too. The thing that held me back is that I haven't seen a whole lot of him. So you don't know where his game is. And a course like this is so risky. If your game's just a little bit off, it can look ugly in a hurry. So, but hey, I appreciate what Kyle did there. That's a gutsy move. And hey, you know what? If it's good for your wife, I guess it's good for you in some way. This is a kind of an odd case of that.
happy life, happy. So what I actually think is interesting is, and this is exact, like not to spoil the next segment, but like exactly the type of thing that I look for is now through 2 rounds, Adam Scott has gained 6.7 shots tee to green and he's still losing basically a quarter of a shot on the greens, which is like, I know he's not notoriously a great putter, but that is like the perfect combination of things I look forward to, in the next couple of rounds.
Yeah. See, that's an interesting one for me because I look for things that are kind of steady. I look for things that are kind of, there's no one area of the game that's exceeding any others. Now, if there is going to be one area, ball striking is definitely more repeatable. It's going to last. It's more sustainable, which is the word we like to use here. But the thing is with Adam, when it comes to win equity, you're going to have to make some putts on Sunday to win. And if the putting is his most, that's his biggest challenge. And now he's going to be tested with it likely on Sunday. It gives me a little bit of pause on greens like this, especially with the carnage, to use your word, Rick. We've seen some real carnage on the green, which gives me a little bit of concern. So I like Adam Scott, but I don't like him as much as Rory McIlroy or Matt Kuchar. Obviously, yep. they're for more reasons than just the fact that they're beating him. It's just kind of that makeup in his statistics and the makeup of his game.
The carnage that you're referring to, we'll talk about in a second. We saw a little bit of it from Bryson DeChambeau. He actually started on the back. He ended up bogeying 8 and 9, which were his final 2 holes today, but he still signs for a 70. He is still in a tie for 11th 4 under. And Greg, he is still dropping bombs, averaging 319 yards off the tee, which is 6th in the field this week.
This is something, it's a great sign for Bryson. I mean, he said in an interview, I heard him say, hey, it's kind of like, a little bit more like Bryson of old. We've seen 4 bogeys from him on the week. In round one, he only made 1 bogey, which is great. So I think there's a lot of positives to look at from Bryson DeChambeau right now. And I'm still in the state where I'm giving him a lot of time because I want to see how he adjusts. And I'm not going to be too early. I almost give him a pass this year to see what happens and how he adjusts. I'm not going to judge him too positively or too negatively. Unless we start seeing play like this continue for a long time to come. But if I'm a better for the weekend, I'm still not in a position where I'm playing Bryson DeChambeau this weekend.
One of the most colorful scorecards of the day goes to the number 2 player in the world, Brooks Koepka. If I'm doing my math right, I'm seeing 6 birdies, 6 pars, 4 bogeys, and 2 doubles. A lot of that coming on the green. I think he 3-putted, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he had 3 3-putts from like inside 5 feet in this
round? No, you're absolutely right. It was a little bit of a tough day on the greens for Brooks Koepka, and tough for everybody, right? This is the carnage that we mentioned. So, and with Brooks, this is the difficult thing. I mean, he didn't drive it very well at all in round one. And so the ball striking, as he said too, was kind of disappointing for him. And I know that he went out, he likely went out to the range and hit some shots and kind of worked out that ball striking. And then the putting let him down. And that's the area of his game too, where you worry about him. If there's a hole in Brooks's game, it's putting. As long as we're not talking about a major championship, he can struggle a little bit. So you get greens like this and all of a sudden it can get frustrating, but you're right. I mean, look at this scorecard. The scorecard is an absolute rainbow. So, but it's exciting to see Brooks make the cut. It's exciting to see him over the weekend. I was kind of hoping he'd be a little bit more in contention because this has a feel of a major championship, and I want to start seeing Brooks Koepka, Rory McIlroy duels down the stretch. Doesn't look like we're going to see it today. I mean, losing over two strokes putting is really tough. Hitting two fairways is also really tough. And then only nine greens. I mean, it's just not a very good day for him. It's just getting it out of position. You know, he's not hitting it well. And like I said, he went to the range to work it out. I don't think he worked it out too much. So, That's the other thing with the, it's frustrating for him. He needs to be focused. When he's focused, he's really good. When he gets a little bit out of it, sometimes it looks like it can be a challenge for him.
I at least like the fact that he made six birdies today. I'm trying to find some positives to cling on to.
Yeah.
Hold tighten up the rest of that game. But I think it is a good transition into some of this carnage because a lot of it was in a similar fashion. It was short putts. It was these late afternoon greens that were jumping up and biting everybody, specifically Bubba Watson, who one of the most popular DraftKings players, one of the most popular one and done picks. Your one and done pick for this week. He looked like he was trying to give it away on 15 when he made double, and then he makes birdie on 16, gets it right back, and then misses, what, a 3 or 4 footer on 18 to pack his bags and go home.
Yep. This is the challenge. Like I was kind of just saying with Brooks, like if he's not fully engaged, Bubba's one of the best when he really gets under the gun and he's really under the pressure. He's one of the best that I've ever seen. And I mean that it just doesn't happen very frequently. Like Bubba's record when he's near the top of the leaderboard is insane. He's not a guy that's going to come in the top 10 a lot, but he's going to win a lot. And it's this strange thing. It's like his focus can shift into a new gear when he's in contention and has a chance to win. It's like he's a shark who smells blood and he just knows how to do it. When it goes the other way and he's not really in contention to win, and the difference is making the cut on the number or going home, Bubba seems, it almost seems sometimes like he's okay going home. I don't want to say he quits. It's like he's not engaged in the same way mentally. And that's how you see a short putt miss like that. That's how you see the double on 15. It's like, I'm only one under par. The leaders are at 9. I'm not coming back. And now what am I doing out here? And it just, that thought has to just come in for a split second. And all of a sudden you make a double on the 15th hole.
Well, we kind of joked about that, where it's like, you'll know if Bubba's going to have a good week early in the week. Like, you'll know if he gets off to a good start. Yeah, you know, for that same reason that you're kind of alluding to, which is just like, I do agree. I think sometimes he just kind of checks out and goes home.
Yeah. So it was disappointing for me, especially. This is, Bubba has been in my strategy. My strategy in one and done has been, go with the easy picks, cruise along here, and I hadn't missed a cut yet. I've been doing pretty well, and Bubba comes up, and this was like the easiest one, the most obvious one, and he bites me.
It was. You weren't the only one. He was one of the most popular one-and-done picks around the industry. Another disappointing result here, Phil Mickelson. I mean, the short game that had carried him over the past couple of weeks lets him down this week. I mean, the stats are terrible. He lost 1.3 off the tee, 1.5 on approach, 1.7 around the green. That's never going to get it done over the course of two rounds, and Phil is going to finish 4 over par after not carding either round under par today, this week.
Yeah, it's just I mean, this is a brutal test for Phil. I mean, I could have told you beforehand. I think we talked about it on Tuesday. Not a good course for Phil.
No.
Not especially right now. And the magic we saw at Pebble Beach is talent for sure. It's definitely Phil's talent, but it's not something that you can sustain over time. And it's not something that's going to carry over round to round to round. So that's the challenge. And he's got very little else to kind of hang his hat on other than hitting bombs. And this is the other thing about the hitting bombs for Phil. It's not like him hitting bombs is like Bryson hitting bombs where he's going to be past everybody in the field. His hitting bombs is to kind of keep up with some of these younger guys. And that's a real challenge. It costs him and doesn't really give him an edge. So I don't know. He's got to get some other things together.
It doesn't matter if you hit bombs if you can't find your ball. Like that, yeah. Like hard stop. I love the social media, Phil. I love the bombs, but like his game's not good. It's not good right now.
Nope.
Someone else who's, I think we have to spend a minute on this because this is continuing to be one of kind of the most shocking things around golf to me is if you scroll all the way down to the bottom of the leaderboard, I'm talking literally 118th, 8 over par, or I guess he's now in a tie for 117th, Francesco Molinari. And this is now a sustained, just terrible run of golf from a guy who was, I mean, you could have picked him to win any tournament, what, 12 months ago? Maybe not even?
Yeah, I would say up until probably Masters last year. Yeah. After Masters last year, it really got away from him. And this is an interesting case here for me. One reason is he changed equipment. So after 2018, when he went on that ridiculous run, I mean, 5-0 at the Ryder Cup, won the Open, won a couple of other – the BMW PGA at Wentworth, he won. He won, I think, the Italian Open as well. He went on this crazy run.
Yeah.
And it was some of the best play we've seen. And he becomes this kind of a star. Like Francesco Molinari was a star in the game of golf. And ever since the Masters, where he came in tied fifth, the 74 on Sunday, I mean, he really should have won that tournament. He didn't miss a shot until number 12 on Sunday. And all of a sudden, the play just kind of goes away. It goes away. He did all right in the majors, tied 16th at the U.S. Open, tied 11th at the Open. But nothing else. And it's just continued. And from a statistics standpoint on the year, this year and last year, I mean, we're not even seeing the ball striking that we normally see. 174th this year, strokes gained tee to green for Francesco Molinari. So something has lost him. And I wonder if it's that equipment change. We've seen it with Justin Rose changed equipment, among other things. And he fell from number one or two in the world to number 10. It was a long fall for him. In history, we've seen it a number of times. We've seen a couple other players earlier this year. Chez Reavie made an equipment change. His game has kind of suffered a little bit. Jason Kokrak made an equipment change. His game has suffered a little bit. It's a hard thing to overcome. And I look at these guys near the top of the world golf rankings. You have Brooks Koepka, Rory McIlroy, who has overcome some equipment changes, but he's never really changed his swing. You got Jon Rahm and Xander Schauffele. These guys haven't changed a thing, it seems. Their coaches are the same. They change very little, and they have sustained continued success. So change is a hard thing for a professional golfer, unless you're basically a Rory McIlroy who's changed his equipment a couple times, Tiger Woods who's changed his swing and his equipment a couple times. I mean, people other than that don't generally do very well.
Yeah, this is a storyline that I am very intrigued to see how it plays out over the course of the rest of 2020. Greg, I want to get to our one and done and look ahead to the week. But before we do that, let's take a quick break and hear a word from our sponsors. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20%
off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBSSports. So start your business journey today with Tailor Brands.
And we're back. All right, Greg, we've recapped round two. Let's look ahead to round three. I kind of already mentioned, you know, outside of someone like Rory, who I love in every possible situation, you know, someone like an Adam Scott, who is gaining so many strokes tee to green, still losing putting. I mean, Bryson's right behind him. Bryson's gaining almost 6¾ strokes tee to green, losing a shot and a half on the greens. These are the types of profiles of guys that I would look to be making a charge over the next day or two.
You're thinking some of these guys are going to have a hot putting day one of these days.
Or a neutral putting day, or just an average putting day.
Right, and they're going to make a run up there. I mean, Adam Scott is a guy who could do it. I have my concerns with him because I think the pressure is going to rise on the putter, and I don't really like Adam Scott's chances. Wyndham Clark's a guy who can putt it well, and he's put himself in this position the past couple weeks with really good 36-hole positions. I mean, we've definitely talked about him. Feels like the last 3 weeks, Rick, and yep. I have a little bit of concern with him because he's an inaccurate driver of the ball at times. And that could punish him like it did last week, although he is a good putter. So his name has a tendency of popping out to me. But look at John Rahm just sneaking his way in there. I know he's only at 4 under, but that's not a guy to forget about. You can't turn your head on him. He's only 3 shots back a second. And if Matt Kuchar falls back to the field, because I do believe Matt Kuchar's firmly in control of this tournament and really can control the destiny here and has the game to do it. If he falls back by, you know, an unlikely circumstance, but a possible circumstance, I don't look past John Rahm. He just continues to put himself right there in the mix.
I'll give you one for tomorrow specifically, because now we are getting the reshuffle. Xander is fifth in the field in strokes gained tee to green. And I want to say he's dead last in putting, second worst in the field in putting. He's going to get to go out early tomorrow on those nice smooth POA greens and see if he can turn this around. So, I mean, the late guys, Kuchar, Rory, they're going to have to deal with those afternoon conditions, but Xander's going to get out early. So fingers crossed for.
What about Brooks? Do you think Brooks can have a little bit of a rebound, or are you worried about the way he's hitting it?
I mean, he's going to make enough birdies too. He's just got to tighten everything else up, right? I mean, if he goes out and makes 6 more birdies tomorrow, he can't offset it with 2 doubles and 3 more bogeys.
I mean, those two guys right there, Brooks Koepka and Xander Schauffele. I mean, it's hard to leave Tiger Woods out, although I know it's history here. I think those kind of guys could go out there and shoot 6-7 under par and be, you know, within 5 shots of the lead for sure come Sunday.
Quick one and done update. You, Greg, and Michael Kaiser are going to be the only two who are not going to get any cash for this week. Unfortunately, with that Bubba Watson pick, myself and Mark Immelman with Patrick Cantlay, we're still alive. Producer Jacob still riding his Dustin Johnson pick at the moment. But Kyle Porter through 2 rounds with the lead, I guess that you would call it here, with Adam Scott. How would you – I can kind of rub your nose in this because I'm so far behind you at the moment. I'll take my one opportunity. How would you assess this board from the outside looking in this week?
So definitely on the outside looking in and happy to do it. I would pick Bubba again if I could. I mean, I don't miss him. So you know what? I'm going to miss a cut at some point during the year. The streak's over. I'm not too upset. Kyle Porter, I give him so much credit. I mean, you look at what he did last week with Max Homa. I mean, he picked Max Homa in a one and done league and he showed up. So that was great. And I think Adam Scott's going to show up again too. The only thing that gives me concern is Adam Scott shot a great round today.
Yeah.
And again, this is back to like we punish golfers who just played great. We punish right. golfers who just won the week before. Right. Right. That's what we do. Which doesn't make very much sense, I guess, but it's almost like that round isn't going to happen again. And if guys start to get after it a little bit tomorrow, and that lead stretches, if Kuchar goes out and shoots 3 under par again, do you see Adam Scott kind of shooting in the mid-60s? I don't know. I don't know if he can do that again after the 64 today. So, but anything under par for Adam Scott will be great. I think he's got a real good chance. And Patrick Cantlay,
make a putt, dude.
Make a putt. Make a putt. It's a great
make
pick.
Make a putt, dude.
Cantlay is a great pick this week, but he's almost like so he's I mean, how can I say that Xander and Brooks can get themselves back in the mix at even and Patrick can't. It just doesn't feel like he's going to make a charge. And that's purely a hunch.
Patrick Cantlay, I watched him routinely miss like 5 footers by like 12 inches today, which is like almost impossible to do.
He's a good putter. I mean, he's a pretty good putter too. He's not like he's not one of those guys that just like Hideki Matsuyama. He's a good putter.
All right, Craig. That was fun. It's Valentine's Day. If we're your sweethearts, do us a favor. Go drop a 5-star rating and review wherever you're listening to this. Show a little love. And we're going to be back every single round to do the instant recap and the review. I've been joined today by Greg Ducharme. You can get him on Twitter. It is at TheRealGFD. I'm Rick Gaiman. You can get me on Twitter. It's at RickRunGood. And we'll see you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.